Salvete discipuli and salvete omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's, where we're going to continue on with our mini grammar lesson, mini series kind of thing. And we are going to be diving into the 18th lesson, where we're going to talk about present passive system here. So if you're curious, you need some help in understanding really what the passive voice is in regards to it being the antithesis of the active voice. This is what we call a mood in verb land, really. So verbs have properties. A lot of the time, we've only really talked about three so far. Person, number, and tense. Person, first, second, third person, tense, past, present, or future, or imperfect in this case, imperfect referring to the ongoing sense of something happening in the past and being completed, or ongoing into the present and having not really been completed, right? It is an imperfect past action. It would be perfect if it had been completed then and there, but imperfect makes it so it has that ongoing quality. And then we have person, number, and tense. Oh, number, and then singular or plural. Then we have indicative versus subjunctive. Subjunctive is going to be a different mood. I am sorry, I misspoke earlier. Active and passive don't refer to mood. They refer to voice. So that's a little bit of a mess up there for me. But maybe you want to learn how to do this in English as well, because we're going to learn how to be able to basically manipulate our own language from turning something into a active sentence, aka I do my homework, versus passively the homework was being done by me. Okay, in the passive voice, we instead of have a direct object, we have an ablative of agent. And in this case, the subject is not actually coming at the beginning of the sentence this time around, oddly enough. So if you're curious, which hopefully you are, because you are here and you're wanting to learn more and you got an inquisitive mind, then stick with me and let's get on into it. I also want to bring attention to the audio quality. If it does seem like it's not as pristine and crisp as it has been, it's because I did forget my microphone. I'm currently home in Santa Fe during Thanksgiving break, just spending some time with my family, but also getting a little bit of some productivity in there, you know, got to lay down some lessons for y'all. And I felt like it had been a bit, so why don't we just get on into it right now? I also want to touch base with all of my homie G's out there that are adding to our new Latin Fam Spotify playlist that I created. It's a collaborative playlist if you haven't already. My Spotify is just L. Connerly, and you can find my playlist, which is collaborative at this point. I don't know if you can just start collaborating or if you need to get the link. But yeah, it's going to be discipuli et omnes, et meaning and. That's where we get et cetera. Because cetera means the rest in Latin. So et cetera literally means and the rest. So with that being said, and with that little bit of a hockety hock, lesson 18, the present passive system that we're getting into here has three important rules that we need to remember beforehand. We have, one, the subject is acted upon in the passive sentence. Secondly, the letter R is the most common indicator of the passive voice in the Latin present tense system. And then finally, passive verbs expect agents. Okay, so let's start with the basics here. Passive is a voice. It's the opposite of active. The optative of apposite. It's the opposite of active. There we go, Liam. Simple. I could say it also complements the yin to active's yang, but I don't really care to maybe do that because beating a dead horse. Anyways, in essence, what the passive voice does is move the action of the verb backwards towards the subject rather than forward towards a direct object, if that makes sense. Conversely, active verbs move the action of the verb from the subject toward a direct object. Thus, in principle, passive verbs do not take direct objects. So in English, passive verbs form typically, or passive verb forms rather, typically involve some sort of the verb to be, such as I am praised, which is passive, versus I praise, which is active. I was praised. I will be praised. We were warned, which is passive, is opposite of we warned, which is active. They will be held, which is passive, is opposite and or opposed by they will hold, which is active. So let's note, it's important in English to recognize that when be is added to a verb form, it doesn't always make the verb passive. The addition of a form of the verb to be can also be made the, or rather, can make the verb continual. So here's really how to tell forms apart. A be form combined with a verb that has a participial ending, ing, is active, whereas a be form combined with a verb that has a participial ending, ed, is going to be passive. Example, I am praising, which is active, versus I am praised being, or I am praised or I am being praised, which is passive. Or the active form, we were warning, versus the passive form, we were warned, right? We were warning someone versus we were warned by someone, okay? See how passive requires that by, aka that ablative of agent. There's a very easy way to be certain you're dealing with a passive form and not a continual form. If it makes sense to add by someone after the verb form. Whenever you can, the verb form is passive. For example, it makes sense to say we were warned by someone, whereas it makes no sense to say we were warning by someone. That doesn't make any sense. Now let's look at the passive voice and how it works grammatically. We'll start with an active sentence. Students study Latin. If we make the active verb study, or rather if we take it, and then we make it passive by adding the verb to be and adding an ed to the verb of the, or the end of the verb, with the result that study becomes is studied, this will in turn render the direct object of the active sentence Latin into the subject of the sentence, which would end up with the rendered passive sentence from the active student study Latin to Latin is studied, and in this case needs some sort of finishing quality, right? Latin is studied is not a complete thought. Notice it means the same thing. Latin is being studied, but it does leave that one key thing out. Who is doing the studying? Well, in the active, we had students study Latin. If you want to include that in the passive sentence, you got to take that subject of the active form students and put it in the passive verb is studied and append it by to the front of the students with the rendered result. Well, fill in the blank. Think about it. What do we got here? Latin is studied by whom? Who are the whom? Students. The grammatical term for by students is what we call the agent, and we'll chat more about that later on. Notice that while both sentences say the same thing, the action of the verb runs in exact opposite directions. In active sentences, it moves from left to right, from the subject to the direct object. But when the verb is changed to passive, the action runs right to left, toward the subject and from the agent. Why don't we practice doing that, though? That being changing the direction of the verb without changing the meaning of the sentence, by moving the verb from active voice to passive voice. So now we're just doing this, and we're practicing via English. So we're not even thinking about this in Latin right now. We're just thinking about this in English. So here's the first sentence. I explained the passive voice. So what's the direct object accusative here? The passive voice. Now, make the subject nominative, which is the subject is nominative, right? Nominative is a fancy word for subject. Add a form of to be to the verb in the right sense, that is. Keep the tense, the correct tense, right? We can't change tenses. And make the subject the agent, or in layman's dealio, put by in front of it, okay? With the result as the passive voice was explained by me. Instead of I explained the passive voice was explained by me. How about another one? You ought to make better choices. Try and do this one in your head real quickly. I'll give you a moment. Think about what's the direct object. Remember, what do we got to add to the verb to make it passive in nature? Add that verb form be, keeping that tense in the correct tense, that is, and then make the subject the agent. And then what do? And what do you get? From the passive form of the active sentence saying, you ought to make better choices. Well, the rendered result here is going to be better choices ought to be made by you. Does that make sense? So now we're just taking that subject, and the subject turns into, instead of you ought, it turns into by you, right? Instead of you ought to make better choices, it's like a flippy-flip all the way around. We take that better choices at the very end of the sentence, we throw it to the beginning of the sentence, we make that ought with a to be, aka ought to be, and then made, because make, what? How do we make into its passive form? Made. And then by you, because we don't add an ed, we don't make maked, we don't make make into maked, it's made. Better choices ought to be made by you. What did the teacher say? What's the verb? Did say. What's the direct object of say? What is the direct object of say? What will become the subject in the passive sentence? And the subject of the sentence? What's the subject? No, it's not what. That's right. It's the teacher. So he slash she is the one doing the saying. In the passive sentence, the teacher will become the agent. So the passive form of the sentence would be what was said by the teacher. Instead of saying, what did the teacher say? What was said by the teacher? Commands can also be turned into passive, as well as long sentences. Note that a verb cannot become passive if it doesn't have a direct object in its active form. That's because the direct object becomes the subject when the verb is converted into the passive voice. There has to be a subject in a sentence. Verbs that don't take direct objects are called intransitive. In meaning not in the Greek, trans across, itive, to go, and IVE, the action of going across, not. And this is also another example would be the irregular verb sum esse, right? To be doesn't carry an action, it is just a linking verb, linking the subject to its predicate, aka the predicate nominative, the predicate adjective, whatever it is. Here are some examples of intransitive verbs in English. I arrived in Rome. Arrived has no direct object. You can't arrive something. Thus, arrived can't be converted into passive. He sighed sadly and died. Was sighed, was died, is wrong. Don't do it. She fell down and remained on the ground. Was fallen, was remained. Just think about that, please, and just do your own recon in your mind, because I know that you guys are big boys and big girls, just like I tell my students. And sometimes the questions they ask me, I love questions, I love being asked questions, but sometimes I don't really like being asked rhetorical questions that already have the answers when they just got to think about it a little bit more. Just like English, Latin also has intransitive verbs, of which one major subset is linking verbs. Remember, linking verbs take predicates, not direct objects, so therefore they can't be made passive. There's no direct object to be converted into the subject, aka you can't be-ed. Besides, sum, possum, and vale are also intransitive and do not take passive forms. So where English uses be to create passive forms in the present tenses, Latin doesn't, so don't worry about it. It uses instead a special set of personal endings. Starting here at the first person singular, first person act, or to the singular and then plural, erister mormenientor. All right? Erister mormenientor. Note that the second person plural, ris, sometimes appears in a shorter form, re. Many classical authors like Virgil use the re quite often. Don't worry about that, though. I guess it's just for you to know that really I know, and that's it. Congrats. Well, when I read Wheelock and when I look into Wheelock, Mr. Wheelock really doesn't introduce the present passive system or third IO and fourth conjugations until later on in his textbook. I think it's better to introduce all the present passive systems all at once rather than waiting between, I think he like waits like between three different chapters or four. I'd rather just tackle it all at once. And it makes that later chapter, if you were to be doing Wheelock, just peer review, something that you'll probably be really grateful for when you get there in the future. So as for themselves, the endings, the first person singular endings combines the O of the active with the R of the passive, producing OR across all the conjugations. Also in the third conjugation, from the active second person singular agis, you would expect to have agiris, but in the passive, the Romans used the thematic vowel E instead. But that doesn't really change, and it doesn't really count as much of an irregularity because the third conjugation regularly interchanges I with E and U as the thematic vowels throughout its forms. So here is the translation of a verb, amo, in the present passive. So we have amo turns into amar. I am loved. Amaris, you are loved. Amator, he, she, it is loved. Amamor, we are loved. Amami, y'all are loved. And amator, they are loved. Now, if we did it in the imperfect tense, it would be amabar, amabaris, amabator, amabamor, amabarmini, amabantor. That would render a translation of amo as I was loved, you were loved, he, she, it was loved. We were loved, rather, y'all were loved, and they were loved, instead of I am loved, right? Amar is I am loved, amabar is I was loved. And then finally, in the future passive, we have bor, beris, bitter, bimor, bimini, buntor. So amabor, amaberis, amabitter, amabimor, amabimini, amabuntor, a.k.a. I will be loved, you will be loved, he, she, it will be loved. We will be loved, y'all will be loved, they will be loved. Note that there's one irregularity in the second person singular, which is beris, bor, beris, bitor, which should be beris with an IRS instead of an ERS, but otherwise the endings are quite predictable in my opinion. Third IO and fourth conjugation utilize what one would expect in the future. That is not the bo bis bit business, blah, blah, the bo bis bit business found in the first and second conjugations, but E in the future tense marker, or A in the first person singular, which produces these endings. We have R, Aries, Etor, Amor, Amini, Entor. Remember, you're responsible for knowing these forms, even though our boy Wheelock doesn't really introduce them later on. I'm going to go ahead and introduce them now because might as well get on track with it now to just be on ahead for when you eventually get to, later stuff. The E preceding the ending in third conjugation future, second person singular Aries, is mandatory, because it distinguishes the future from the present. So there's another macron that you better be well aware of. AKA, in other words, Aries means you will be whatever the verb means, for instance. AKA, you will be led, versus Aries, which means you are whatever the verb means, for instance, you are led. Okay, so we either have you will be led or you are led, two very different forms of the verb. The future passive translates as follows again. I'm a bor, I'm a berry, some a bitor, I'm a bimor, bimini, and buntor. I will be loved, you will be loved, he, she, it will be loved. We will be loved, y'all will be loved, they will be loved. There you go, fully conjugated. In addition to finite forms, present infinitives also can be passive. Here are the endings for the present passive infinitives in all five conjugations. In the first, present passive infinitives end in A-R-E, producing things like laudare, meaning to be praised. In the second conjugation, we have an ere with a long marker over the e, producing forms like monire, meaning to be warned. And adding in third and third io and fourth, as we did with the finite verb forms in third conjugation, I, as in agi, would be to be done. And then fourth conjugation would be iri, as in sentiri, which would be to be felt. Right? Sentio, to feel, sense, sensual, sensation. And third io conjugation, I, again, as in iaki, aka to be thrown. Spelled I-A-C-I, Iaki, Iaki. And with that being said, I think that that's just about it. With me just wanting to dive a little bit into the ablative of agent here real quickly. So, you see how we turn these verb forms from active into passive. So you say, I did my homework, so instead would be the homework was being done, or the homework is done by me. The ablative of agent in that case in the passive sentence, because only ablatives of agent are going to be in passive sentences, would be by me in that sentence where we have the homework was done by me or is done by me. The ablative of agent is the most passive, is what most passive verb forms expect, actually, as opposed to direct objects, which are what most transitive verb forms expect. Let's start with this simple sentence, you did it. Here we have a nominative subject, you, an active verb, did, and an accusative direct object, it. If we want to retain the same sense, but use a passive verb form instead of an active one, we start by changing did to was done. To retain the same sense in the passive sentence, we need to take the direct object, it, and make it the subject of the passive form, producing it was done. In order to complete the sense that the active version of the sentence has, we need to say who's doing the action of the verb, and thus, in the passive form, we need to add an agent, by you. So the full passive form would then be, it was done by you, to express the agent in a passive verb construction. We use the ablative case, aka ablative, or aka ablative, aka Latin uses the ablative prepositional case for passive verb constructions. All right, I'm gassing out here, I guess. We'll do an example here really quickly, and we'll leave it there. So as an example, we have, let me think. How about Romani ab amici sui serobator, which means the Romans were saved by their friends. If, however, the agent of the passive sentence is not a person, Latin still uses the ablative to express that doer, but no preposition, aka a/ab, a or ab. The ablative of impersonal agent is really the equivalent of the ablative of means, and that's really what it should be called, but it's not. Even though I will call it right now that, because I want to. So, for example, Romani labore magno serabantur, meaning the Romans were being saved by, or with, in this case, great efforts, right? No A or AB here, because labore magno is already in the ablative form, as with it being the impersonal agent. Note, no preposition before the ablative here, and there you go. So with that being said, I'm going to leave it there. I know this was quite a bit of information, but I know that this is a lot of really good nitty-gritty information to know just in general for your language, because in order to, like, hey, you know what? Now you can look at your writing and you can change it from active back into passive, back into active. You know, if I could have known how to do this back in high school when I predominantly wrote in the passive voice because I thought it sounded more highfalutin, because oddly enough, the more wordy I sounded, I thought the more I actually sounded in command of my topic, which was not really the case, because my teachers would always say that, you know what, make sure that it's short and sweet, short enough to cover the essentials, but long enough to, long enough to cover the essentials, but short enough to keep things interesting. That's what they would say. Anyways, with all of that, hope you learned something new. Thanks again for tuning on in. And thanks again for being here, as always. I really do appreciate you guys. And if you do get to the end of this, like, let me know. I don't know. I mean, would love to connect. You rock. Appreciate you. And remember to appreciate yourself. And think about maybe a little small aspect of yourself. Look down. Look at your legs or your arms or your hands or your nails or, I don't know, the cuticles that you push back. Maybe the fingernails that you need to cut that I just actually trimmed recently. The human body is so cool. I really do find it amazing, regardless of all of the weird abnormalities that my health is dealing with right now. So with that being said, thank yourself. I love you. Tempus est discedere.